Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we bow down before you this morning, and we just thank you for the opportunity to gather, and thank you for the prayers in the Bible, and as we look at another one this morning, and just so much to learn about praying, our praying to you, and seems so familiar that, oh, I know how to pray and all, and yet we read these accounts, and there's always something that really jumps out and says, oh, boy, that's for you. That's for me. So let us look again this morning into the book of Genesis. And we are still with Abraham. And so now it's primarily about Isaac today, but it is the prayer of Eliezer and of Abraham for him, Eliezer, to go all the way back to Mesopotamia to find a bride for Isaac. So Lord, help us here in this study and to glean what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we have the account. We've had this 7 years ago. We went through this, and even about 14 years ago, we went through it earlier. So this is not something new, but I would pray that all of these that we've been going through are not new, but that they would be a reminder and a refreshment for us. And I was thinking about the hymn, The Church is One Foundation, because we see here that the words in the first verse, from heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. So we have the overall master example of selecting a bride in our Lord Jesus Christ, selecting us, the church. But here we have Abraham's example of dedication to the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing. He's been promised that through him the seed would come. And of course his son now has been born to him some maybe 47 years earlier or something like that. And because Isaac is now 40 years old. And it's time for Isaac to get a wife. So we will see what's important in selecting a wife. And this generation and this culture has totally disregarded this and forgotten it. But we'll see what's important here. And so this is a solemn occasion. We read that Abraham called Eliezer. Now Eliezer has probably been working for him for 60 years. And even as I mentioned way earlier, about 37 years or 47 years earlier, Abraham was kind of asking the Lord, hey, I don't have an heir to pass on all the things you've given me. And then God told him that you will have a son. And so then that son has been born. And we now have the son 40 years old. So Isaac now, I need to point this oath out to you because it's not always, listen to when I went through this before and I didn't even teach it right. I said it's under the thigh because the thigh, they made an oath. He said, put your hand under my thigh. That's cleaned up in the King James. It's actually under your crotch. Where does the seed for life come from in a person? It comes from the source of life is the testicles, right? So there's nothing from the seed of life. There's nothing in you, men, women too for that matter, of course it's the egg there, but life has got to come through that vessel. That's the only place that the life can come through. So if you're going to make an all-binding oath, you back it up really by the purpose of your life or the purpose of life coming through you. So it's a very solemn thing. It's not just a casual put your hand on a stack of books or something or other, or even on the Bible. This is even in a way more dear than that. And that's the way they were making covenants in those days because they had a real appreciation of the sanctity of life. And we've totally lost that today too much, not necessarily here in this group, but in the church generally. You know, a lot of the church isn't even that much against abortion because it's too controversial. So think how we've lost the sanctity of life even within the church. But here we will see the importance now of selecting the right woman, and it's got to be above all things a woman that's picked by God. And above all things, Abraham says, you must not take a wife for Isaac here in the land of Canaan. because there aren't any godly wives here. They're basically all pagans. And so here he's giving Eleazar this solemn assignment of going 400 miles on a camel, which would take at least a month, and bring back a wife. Now think of the task. You're going to go 400 miles and you're going to pick out a woman, or a woman's going to be picked out that's willing to go 400 miles with you. She'll never see her friends again. She'll never see her parents again, likely. And she's going to marry a man she's never met. You think that's a tough assignment? Well, it's impossible without the Lord. So Abraham has this great faith, though, because he says, God, in verse 7, he will send an angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son there. What faith Abraham has. Isn't that great? And if she's not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there. Think of the importance here now. His most important thing, he does not want his son, the seed of that the Messiah is going to come through, to be contaminated by ungodliness. And so above all else, don't take a pagan wife. Don't allow that for Isaac. So he takes 10 of his camels, and now we're going to see him praying. And here is his first prayer that we'll have, the only one we're going to really cover today, but this sums it all up. Notice the address here. This is Eleazar praying. He's made his trip. He's already up, and he's at the well up there in Haran area where he was to go to the family where Abraham came from in Haran there and get the wife in that general area anyway of Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he goes to the well, because why would you go to a well if you're going to be looking at women? Because in those days, it's the people who drew the well, who came to the well for the water, that was women. So about even time, and the women had to come to the well because that was the only source of water. So you pretty well are in a good spot to meet some women. But here's his prayer. O Lord God, think of that. O Yahweh Elohim. He's not just saying, hey, friend in the sky, or oh, you up there, or whatever. Of course, Jesus would say, our Father. But here, before Jesus' time, this was, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be. Notice the specificity or the specificness of this prayer. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Now, is this specific or not? Even praying to the Lord for what they're supposed to say, and then even what they're supposed to answer. Now, as we pray this morning, kind of keep that in mind as we're led by the Spirit, not just to ramble on about, because the Holy Spirit doesn't give you prayers to ramble on about. Not that you do, but I mean that sometimes in group prayer we like to just go on and on, and we keep going on and on. As long as it's led by the Spirit, it's going to be specific, it's going to be holy, it's going to be awesome. And when it goes off of that, you know, down the trail of what I'm thinking about, the Spirit just gets sucked out of the room, right? So here he is saying this great specific drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Now, by the way, this would be probably 2 hours worth of work, 20 gallons probably per camel. There are 10 camels, that's 200 gallons of water. And you got to go down to the well to get that in buckets for 200 gallons. Think of that. So this is the standard here for now. The one who God will provide, she's going to be an industrious, hardworking woman, and she's going to volunteer. You're to ask her for a drink. And she's going to volunteer not only to give you a drink, she's going to volunteer to water all your camels. Well, that's a woman, right? Let her be the one. you have appointed for your servant Isaac. Now, are you praying for your kids, for your grandkids like that, for their marriages? It's probably the most important decision, one of the most important decisions that's ever made is who you marry. You have let me hear that she's the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. So think of that prayer. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? It's just such a great clarification of getting the main thing to the one who is the main thing about what you want to see done. And you're not getting direction prayers here. You're not saying, Lord, you do it the way I want it. No, I want to find the way you've appointed for this. So go on downstream a little bit to you witnessing today or tomorrow or whenever it is. Let's take you're going on a bus or a train or a plane. As you board that, you know, wouldn't it be a good prayer to be asking the Lord, or whether it's wherever you are, Lord, give me the guidance of who you want me to talk to. And then go before me and open the door. Because without that, it's going to be a wasted conversation. But if you bring that person to me, may I show up and be willing to represent you as the Spirit would lead me. Not my canned report necessarily, but it would probably include somewhere in there your testimony of how great he is, how great he has been to you, and how great he is to you, and how your life has been changed, because that's the strongest part of the testimony that we really have. And of course, the Word of God is absolutely all important, but even what he's done in our life is meaningful to other people, because they may not believe the Bible, they don't hold much stock in the Bible, but if they see you really serious about what he's done in your life, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? That's probably as impressive as you can be with what you have to reveal. And then it says, this verse 15, now talk about a prayer being answered. And it happened before he had finished speaking. Think of that. He goes 400 miles on a camel, taking a month for this very task. He just gets there, and he asks the Lord this prayer, and before he finished speaking, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, wife of Nahor. So this is of the family. This is also the father here of Nahor is the uncle, brother, Abraham's brother, came out with a pitcher on her shoulder. So go back to my family. Oh, here's my niece, right? Actually, not Eliezer's niece, but would be Abraham's niece, and as a bride for Isaac. So the family is represented here of who he was looking for. Now the young woman was very beautiful. So God doesn't usually pick the worst, ugliest thing for you, but it may not be necessarily outstandingly good looking, but it would be beautiful in his sight, of course. So we've had a characteristic. The first one here was of the right lineage. She has to be a believer, really. But as a right believer, then, she has to be willing to be a hard worker. And then she's willing to be a hard worker. It doesn't hurt if she's good looking, right? She was very beautiful, and she's a virgin. So there's another requirement, virgin. No man had known her, and she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up, and the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me have a drink from your pitcher. So she said, drink, my lord. Then he quickly let down her pitcher and gave him a drink, and when she had finished drinking, giving him a drink, she said, wasn't asked, she volunteered, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. Wow. I would have never offered that, and I'm not even a woman. 2 hours of bringing water up for camels? Probably 2 hours. I don't know, however long it takes. Some camels can even drink 50 gallons apiece, but these may not have been that big of camels. We don't know how big they were. Anyway, she drew water until they were finished drinking. Then she quickly emptied her trough into the trough and ran back to the well. So even look how industrious she is. She's not moseying back and forth. She's running to draw water and drew it for the camels. And the man, wondering at her, Eleazar, remained silent so as whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Now, he's still waiting on the Lord. Notice this. Now, if I would have had that answer, I'd say, "Hoo, hallelujah, my job is over, I found a woman." But he's waiting silently so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So we want to be not too hasty in our, we want to be sure we're on, it's real. It's not just, oh, this is what I hope will happen. And so when it happens, you know, I've just heard of, you know, a lot of people who are maybe serving as a missionary or whatever, they read one verse and a couple of words in the verse, they say, God's speaking to them. They base the whole thing from there on of those two words. Now, that's one way to do it, but it's often a way to get you in a lot of trouble because you've got to continue to seek the Lord. Is this really what I'm being told here? And I'd like more than just a couple of words. I'd like it confirmed on an ongoing basis, getting louder and louder, right? But anyway, he's waiting. He's silent here. Now, he starts out, finished drinking. The man took a golden nose ring weighing a half a shekel. Now, I don't know why any woman would want a half a shekel nose ring, but you see some people today putting all these things in their body again in like this. We used to do that to pigs to keep them rooting up their pens, but it's a horrible thing. I mean, how can you imagine that? I can't imagine. But anyway, here's a nose ring and two bracelets of her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. So that's plenty of gold, right? And he said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room for your father's house?" So she said, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom you bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said, "We have both straw and feed enough to lodge." Then the man bowed down and worshiped the Lord. Wow. So as you have answers to your prayers, this is step by step here, really. Are you worshiping the Lord? Or, "I'm so glad he answered that prayer. That's a long, tough journey. And man, I can't wait to get home," you know. And forget all about thanking the Lord. Forget all about worshiping the Lord. But here, he worshiped the Lord. And so the story goes on, and we won't take all the time to do a study of the whole chapter, really. But you know how the story went. She then was given the decision, "Will you go?" And she said, "Yes." So she takes off for this 400-mile journey back, and then she meets her husband, whom she would spend the rest of her life with. So it was all orchestrated by the Lord. So we see then, as we summarize what happened here, first and foremost, don't take a pagan wife. Paul would say later in Corinthians, do not be unequally yoked. Now, in this case, Isaac was a believer. Now, maybe some of our grandchildren and children are not even believers. So above all else, pray for their salvation. But assuming they are saved, then pray that the marriage would only be with a godly person. And, you know, I even like people to think this way. If you meet somebody you really think is godly, make sure that they're more godly than you are. That they'll be lifting you up instead of pulling you down. Because often when somebody wants to impress somebody and they think you're a believer, they'll all of a sudden become a believer in everything about them except they're not. And if you say, "Oh, this is a sweet girl, whatever, does she like to pray?" "Oh yeah, she loves to pray." "How much time do you spend in prayer?" "Oh, well, we've never prayed together." "Oh, but she loves to pray." "Well, she says she does." You know, I'm making too much of this in one way, and yet not. So it has to be here a woman from non-pagan, and then it has to be one that had characteristics of being willing to humbly offering yourself to others to work, and she's industrious, and then it turns out that she's good-looking, which is good, and so well thought through these various things. And the oath of given to Eleazar then is complete because he brings her back as a bride. Father, we thank you for the specifics in these prayers, and we thank you for the totally given over to you. We thank you for the tying down by worship and praise as the prayer gets answered in steps, so to speak. And we just want to have that continuing, perfect reunion, relationship ongoing with you time after time, never deviating from your presence and continuing to watch you work and open the doors that we can just show up and you will show us what to do. You will enable us. Whatever you call for us to do, you will give us that enabling. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to pray this morning. And Father, I would ask that we might pray for those in our family, those loved ones of ours who are single with regard to marriage. We might pray for our president. We might pray for balance between the three branches as we continue to see the judges shutting things down. Pray for Pastor Jack Hibbs that he could get back for tomorrow after the message to these pastors in Prescott, Arizona today, and only one flight out, and the weather is very unpredictable there today. So if you want him back in tomorrow morning, oh Lord, help him back. So we lift that up. And whatever else you put on each of our hearts to pray to you, Lord, may we pray that way. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Father, how we thank you for hearing our prayers and meeting us here this morning, Lord. And just one last little specific prayer before we close. With great is thy faithfulness, and you are faithful. But the Second Chronicles 7:14, which we are all so familiar, I think too familiar with it. But I just pray, Lord, that you would make us willing to stand for the fact that this request is to my people who are called by my name. Do we have enough of that in our life that people see that? And look, again, in this same passage, humility comes up again. So I pray for a willingness to be humble, Lord. That is your will. I know it's your will, but I don't do it. Showing all humility to all men, yes. And then that we would really be willing to pray and seek your face. Are we really seeking your face in our prayers? Or is it so self-centered we hardly even include you? And then finally, would you give us help? Yes. And willingness to turn from our wicked ways, Lord. You've already promised if we do these things, you will heal our land. It's not like, Lord, heal us, heal us, heal us. We don't read the then and if at all into that thing. It is your grace to be sure. But we have our, are we really obedient? We say we love you. But I believe we love you only as much as we're obedient. If we're fully obedient, it means we fully love you. If we're half obedient, it means we half love you, or at least we don't love you enough to be fully obedient. So, Lord, my obedience is lacking, so that no, I know my love is lacking if my obedience is lacking, no matter what I say. So help us to hate our sin more, to love you more, and to delight, the psalmist would say, I delight to do your law. Is there delight in my heart to be obedient to you, or am I just kind of half doing it out of obligation? No, Lord. So change our hearts, Lord,
yes,
that we would have that word delight in it. delighting to honor you, delighting to please you, delighting because you are delightful, Lord. Yes. And you are so faithful. So as we just close with this great old hymn, great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. Thy compassions, they fail not. All that as thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. So let's sing this together. Are you done? Gracie leaving for Tennessee. Yes, Lord, you know Gracie and Brett leaving for 3 weeks to Tennessee, and I pray that would be a profitable trip, Lord, and going, arriving, and so forth, and I know it has been in the past. So may your hand be upon her and guide her and protect her and bring her back safely, Lord. All right, great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, morning by morning, new mercies I see.
And we do say hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord, may we honor you this whole day. Go with each as we leave now, and may our prayers not end, but may they just continue on in worshiping and praising you and being available for whatever you want to do with us as hour by hour as this day progresses, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.